If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to the 142nd Psalm. The 142nd Psalm. And as you have been so kind to do this week, if you would please oblige me one further time and stand in honor of the Word of God if you're able. And I want us to look at this 142nd Psalm. And if you have a little notation there, a little before the psalm, you'll see that this is a psalm of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Let me go ahead and turn this other mic on. I think this might be what they're wanting. Or maybe not. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let's pray. Father, once again, as we are privileged to assemble ourselves together in your presence, truly our hearts are overjoyed with the time that you've allowed us to enjoy this sweet fellowship, to hear the Word of God preached by our dear brother Jason. Lord, how he's blessed our hearts. We're thankful not only to come and preach, but to sit under good preaching. And Father, it's just been a blessing. Thank you, Father, for the friendships that have developed and being reacquainted with some that we haven't seen for some time. Lord, truly it's been our privilege to be here. And Lord God, as we're given this last opportunity of this Bible Institute, Lord, to stand before your people, we do so humbly. Lord, I understand. I bow before you tonight acknowledging my weakness, knowing, Father God, that if we're to have anything worth having, it must come from thee. And Lord, I pray that you would use this message to help, to assist, to encourage, to uplift, to edify, to build up the people of God. Lord, you alone know the hearts. You alone know all the needs that are represented here this evening. And I trust that you would be pleased to meet each and every one according to thy will. Father, thank you for this audience. Thank you for their friendship, their kinship. Lord, thank you for just allowing us again to be a part of this meeting this week. And Father, may you receive honor and glory. And may we hear from in the days, weeks, months, years to come, that because of this people who have committed themselves to prayer and committed themselves to come to the house of the Lord and committed themselves not only to hear but be doers of the word as it was preached, and Father, you would use that to change us, to encourage us, to rebuke us where necessary, but Father, we would hear in the days to come of the great things that transpired this week. And Father, again, it will be, if anything good happens, it will be because of you and not us. Bless, Lord, I pray. In the wonderful name of Jesus, and amen. Our thought tonight is simply dealing with difficulty. Our text finds David hiding out in a cave, literally fearing for his life. Of course, running from King Saul, and we don't, time does not permit us to go into all the things that transpired before this. I trust that you are not in the dark, most of us, in regards to all that took place. Why David is in fact running and hiding. But we find him nonetheless here in a cave, and he's expressing, as best I can see, discouragement, disheartenment, fear, loneliness. And those are emotions, those are feelings that most of us will probably face in life. The Bible says in Job 14:1, man that is married of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. No, I'm sorry. Man that is born of a woman. Sorry. I've got that on my mind now. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Just seeing if you're still with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange. Don't be surprised. Don't sit back and say, who, me? Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. These verses and many, many more that we could turn to tonight teach us the very truth that every one of us is going to have times of difficulty in our lives. I think one of the greatest lies that's been perpetuated upon a people is trust the Lord Jesus Christ and all your problems will be over. Now, ultimately, our greatest problem, the fact that we stand guilty before God, will be taken care of. But this idea that, you know, you just trust the Lord and everything will be perfect is foreign to the Scriptures. This idea they have today, that says, well, if you're facing difficulty, you just need to give a little more to the church. You just don't have enough faith. You need to do a little more. And they build these monstrous buildings and cathedrals and so that the preachers can drive around in their Cadillac Escalades. You don't have an Escalade, do you, brother? Okay. So they can drive around in their Cadillac Escalades and have air-conditioned dog houses and things of that sort, milking the people, if you will. And just say, well, you have problems because you're not giving enough, you're not doing enough, you don't have enough faith. This name it and claim it crowd, the blab it and grab it crowd, who just the seeker sense of it, all this kind of thing. I don't think the real battle even begins, the spiritual battle at least, until we come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. As a lost person, the devil has us. We're no threat to him. So we're all together in that sense that we will all face difficulties. And they come in many forms. Some more harsh than others. Some have experienced the death of a loved one, unsuspecting, maybe some tragedy, a car accident or something other. Some have been given news of a dreaded disease or sickness. Many in our day have lost their jobs. Many who have worked for many years and had money set aside for retirement has lost a lot of that. Some have wayward children. Some have marriages that are in trouble. The list could go on and on and on. We are a people, as the Scriptures that I reference, are going to face some troubles. How we respond in these times of difficulty will determine if the difficulty will bring discouragement, which could ultimately bring defeat. I want you to know tonight that whatever it is you're facing, whatever battle, whatever trial, whatever trouble that you're facing, that you may face, that you have faced, there is one who knows and cares. His name is Jesus. And He cares. He really does. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Sometimes, let's just be honest, we might not dare say it with our lips, but we think, we may not put it to a song as did David, but we think we have this attitude that God has forgotten me. God has forsaken me. God has, He's not listening. What, Lord, do you not see? It's kind of like those men who were on the ship and they said, Lord, carest not that we perish? We look into this psalm and see how David dealt with this time of trouble. And I pray that as we do that, it will serve to encourage us when we face trouble. First thing I want us to recognize is verse number 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. First thing we need to understand is we need to recognize God's sovereignty. Then thou knewest my path. We serve an all-knowing God. He is omniscient. The Bible declares in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Someone said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows it all. Those 400 plus years that the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, God was aware. He heard their cries. He had a plan, He had a purpose, He had a program, if you will. He knows all about it. You're here tonight and going through some difficult time that's maybe known to others or maybe known only to yourself. God knows. And God cares. Nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing happens in our lives that the angels have to knock on the door of heaven and say, Lord, did you see what happened down there? Are you not aware of what she's going through? Are you not understanding of what this man is facing? Did you get the call? Did you get the memo? Did you get the text? See, God already knows. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So we need to recognize God's sovereignty tonight. God knows the troubles. God knows the sorrow. God knows the pain. God knows the valley in which you are trotting through tonight. God knows what is going to happen in the days, weeks, months to come. Things that if we knew would probably terrify us. But He knows. You are not forgotten, you are not forsaken, and you are not alone. So when troubles come, we need to recognize God's sovereignty. Rest in that. I mean, that's a great comfort. A lot of people, they despise the sovereignty of God, especially when you speak of the sovereignty of God in salvation. But that's a wonderful truth. I take solace in that to know that my God knows that when I fall on my face before God and I go to Him with some burden that I carry, that God knows. And God cares. And we're not here by accident. We're not here by a process of millions and billions of years and happenstance and circumstance. We are here by divine design. And God has put us here for such a time as this, if you will. He has allowed us to be born in this day, in this age, in this land, in the place where we were born. He's got a plan for our lives as the children of God. That encourages me. That I'm not here by accident. That God didn't just, this just didn't happen. He just left me down here to mull around and make the best of it. But that God has a plan for me. And His plan for me many times is not the plan that I would choose for myself. Is our battery about shot? This is the same battery we've had all week, so I don't know.
But God knows about that. God take care of that battery. Lord will bless. Listen, I remember a story told many years ago and told it to be true. And I've shared this many times. The scientists were studying the caterpillar. They were, here, brother, here's another big word. I thought of another one I know, metamorphosis. Did I pronounce it right? Close enough? All right, they didn't know. So I know a couple big words. I know a little Greek. His name's Anton. Scientists were studying this metamorphosis, the changing of the caterpillar to the butterfly, and they were inquisitive as to what took place while it was in the cocoon. So they assisted. They took a scalpel and they opened that cocoon at a particular time, and the butterfly as it came forth wasn't real colorful. It was more like a moth. You know how ugly moths are. And they noticed that it couldn't really fly very well. It was just kind of, you know, plop around. And what they had discovered through their testing and so forth was the fact that while that butterfly, caterpillar, was struggling within that cocoon, he was getting a workout. And he was pushing to get out, and that was pushing the blood through his wings, giving it its beautiful color. And it was building up his wings so that when he came forth naturally, he could flutter around as butterflies do. See, sometimes God allows us a cocoon of trouble. And it's in that time where we realize, the Bible says, you know, when I am weak, then am I made strong. Because I realize that Lord, it's not me. And when God brings us to those places, listen, it's not to destroy us, it's not to discourage us, it's not to defeat us. But it's to make us stronger, to make us better prepared for to be a help and blessing to someone else that may face the trouble. Or something else that may be coming our way. Recognize God's sovereignty tonight. Secondly, rely on God's promises. In verse number 4 and 5, he said, I looked at my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. So verse number 3, we're recognizing God's sovereignty. In verse number 4 and 5, we are to rely on God's promises. He says, thou art my refuge. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, there's nothing like climbing up in the arms of Jesus and finding rest. A rest that this world can't give. A comfort, a healing as we rely on God's promises. Hebrews 13:5, where the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I tell this story often as well. Sorry, Brother Jeremy, he knows all my stories. Someone was talking about, Sister Reynolds, I think, was talking about that earlier. Said they had an older car, had a bench seat, and you said you wore it out, moving it back and forth. See, kids today, what's a bench seat in a car? What's that? You know, they don't know what that is. That's a seat in the front that it was just like a bench. And this older couple was sitting on the porch, and just kind of as it is in the country, which I had to learn that too. My kids, when we first moved to Kentucky, said, why do you wave at everybody? That's what country people do. Yeah, it's just what you do. Everybody going down the road, hey. You know, who was it? I don't know. Why'd you wave? Because they might, you know, they know I'm the preacher, and if that preacher didn't wave at me. One fellow I was really upset with. I drove by, and he was out working in the field. He worked a lot, seemed like, and I waved at him every day. He never would wave back. I realized it was a scarecrow after about 4 or 5 days. You don't see them in Cincinnati too often. We don't have scarecrows hanging around the city. So a couple sitting on the porch, and these cars would go by, they were waving, and the car went by, and the lady was right up next to her boyfriend, her husband, whatever it was, had her arm around the back as he was driving. And the older woman looked over at her husband. She said, Paul, you remember when we used to drive like that? And the old fellow was just sitting there whittling away. He said, Ma, I ain't moved. Through the years, she's the one who took her arm down and gave herself a little space and now was over here against the window. And the point is this, God hasn't moved. He's still where He's always been. So if there's distance there, guess who moved? It wasn't God. God's not playing hide and seek. As I said earlier, sometimes with God is, I believe, delights in answering the prayers of His people. He's not standoffish. He's not stingy with His blessings. He says, come unto me. All ye that labor and heavy, I will give you rest. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. 2 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. See, we need to recognize God's sovereignty. We need to rely on God's promises. A young man had established a successful legal practice in Chicago. Along with his financial success, he always maintained a keen interest in Christian activities. He enjoyed a close and active relationship with D.L. Moody and other evangelical leaders of that era. He was described by friends as a man of unusual intelligence and refinement, deeply spiritual and devoted student of the Scriptures. Several months prior to the Chicago Fire of 1871, the man had invested heavily in real estate on the shores of Lake Michigan. All his holdings were wiped out by that fire. Just trying to get away and trying to get rest for his wife and his four daughters, as well as wishing to assist Moody and Sankey in one of their campaigns in Great Britain, the young man planned a European trip for his family in November of 1873. Due to some unexpected last-minute business developments, he had to remain in Chicago, but sent his wife and four daughters on ahead, as scheduled, expecting to follow in a few days. On November the 22nd, the ship was struck by an English vessel, and in 12 minutes was totally submerged in the water. Several days later, the survivors were finally landed at Cardiff, Wales, and his wife cabled her husband with this message, saved alone. Shortly afterward, this man left by ship to join his bereaved wife. It is thought that on the sea, near the very area where his four daughters had drowned, that he penned this text, when peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford. Relying on the promises of God. Not only during times of tragedy and trial and testing are we to recognize God's sovereignty, rely on God's promises, but in verse number 6 we are to resign to God's omnipotence. That's a word that means all powerful. In verse number 6, He says, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. There is that acknowledgement of His inability in His own strength and power and might to overcome. So He resigns to God's omnipotence. See, many times we make things worse by trying to deal with them ourselves. Let's just be honest tonight. Some things are just too big for us. You know, I've learned a long time ago not to always try to have an answer. People come to you about things, and it's okay to say, I don't know. But I'll pray with you, and I'll pray for you. And I'll pray God give us wisdom and grace and strength we stand in need of to make it through. We need to, and this is easier said than done, I know. When we come to the Lord with our burdens and we cast our care upon Him to leave it there. We tend to give it to the Lord, but then we get done praying, we pick it back up, and that's hard sometimes. But we need to resign to God's omnipotence, His power. Let Him fight our battles. Let Him bring us the victory. Fourthly, we are to rejoice in God's blessings. That's something we don't do enough of, I'm afraid. In verse number 7, he says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name." You know, it's amazing what praising can do. You know, we hear the songs and the, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Paul and Silas found themselves in a literal prison. They had been imprisoned, beaten, battered, bloodied, bound to the walls of a cold, dark dungeon, not knowing if they were going to live through the night or what the next day might befall them, that it could be their death. They were in a bad way. To be a fly on the wall in that prison that day, I don't even, you know, here Paul and Silas was, and maybe Silas was saying, "Paul, what are we going to do? Well, I can barely, I don't even know if I'll make it through the night, Paul. What are we going to do?" And I think Paul began to just maybe to grin at first, and maybe begin to laugh. And you know, they said of Paul, "Much learning hath made thee mad." Maybe Silas thought he's lost it. But Paul understood that some of these things we talked about, he had resigned to God's omnipotence. He was, "Silas, do you understand that we are suffering for the cause of Christ? Praise the Lord." And Silas says, "Praise the Lord." And they began to sing. And they began to praise God for that current situation. Maybe not for it, but in it. Thanking God that they would be found worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. And singing and praising God. And the Bible says about the midnight hour, the building began to shake. And their chains and fetters fell off. Not only them, but it appears that, if not everybody, many in that prison. And the jailer, fearing that they had escaped, drew his sword, was going to take his own life. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm." He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" We might word it today, "Why? Why are you here? What do you have? How are you able to praise God? Your life is all but over. I want what you have. How can I have it? How can I be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Rejoice in God's blessings. It's amazing what praising can do. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to these blessings. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Rejoice in God's blessings. Listen, anything above burning in hell is a privilege, because that's what we deserve. We deserve hell. To suffer loss for the cause of Christ is a privilege. Now, that doesn't register to our human nature. But the very fact that God has allowed us life, eternal life, all these blessings we read about there in Ephesians chapter 1, and we could turn to many other scriptures. We deserve hell tonight. And I know maybe you're going through, and you would say this maybe, not with your lips, but you think, preacher, I feel like I've been through hell. One, you have no idea the torments of hell. I don't want to belittle what you may be facing, what trouble, what difficulty, what trial that you're facing. I'm just saying, it could be worse. See, our focus needs to be, again, it needs to be on God. Fifthly and lastly, let me encourage you. In your time of difficulty, trials and troubles, recognize God's sovereignty, rely on God's promises, resign to God's omnipotence, rejoice in God's blessings, and then, brothers and sisters, remain steadfast and faithful. Verse number 7, he said, "For thou shalt deal bountifully with me." See, David believed that in time God would deliver him. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, I understand the direct context of Isaiah 40:31 and such is referring to the grafting in of the Gentiles and such. And there's, the comfort to God's people seen here. But let me assure you of this tonight. Let me encourage you in this tonight. There's not one thing in this world, not one thing that could come your way that would be worth you giving up, to throw in the towel, to quit. I don't suspect anyone has suffered like Job. And Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." So let me ask you in closing tonight, are you troubled?
Are you weary? It happens. Are you heavy-hearted? As the songwriter would say, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You carrying burdens tonight that are just simply too heavy for you to bear? Give them to Jesus. Carrying that burden of sin, that fear of thinking that this could be the day, that if Christ should return, He will find me lost in my sin and I will be doomed to hell. Listen, sin is a heavy weight to bear. You can be freed from that. You can be loose from that burden of sin tonight, you who may be here lost, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's a child of God here tonight who's got unconfessed sin in your life. And you think, this could be the day that the truth will be known. This might be the day that mom and dad find out. This might be the day that my husband finds out, my wife finds out. This might be the day that the church finds out. Listen, confess that sin. Cast it off. Get rid of that guilt. Maybe you're just overwhelmed with life. You felt like maybe God dealt you a bad hand, if I could use that analogy. And we would say, God, it's not fair. Why me? Lord, I'm trying to serve. I've been faithful. I'm serving you to the best of my ability. Yet, Lord, you put me through this trial. Well, again, I don't want to belittle what you may be facing tonight. I just want to point you to Christ. In reality, we don't want what's fair. What's fair is that we die and go to hell. It's grace we stand in need of tonight. Saving grace. Sustaining grace. You got that heavy burden tonight? You're troubled about things, the future, whatever it may be. Family struggles, marriage and turmoil, wayward children, financial problems, health problems, whatever it is, Jesus knows, God knows, God cares, and He stands ready to help. Father, tonight, thank You for the wonderful privilege of standing before these fine folk and expounding the Word of God. Again, Father, You alone know the hearts. I trust, Lord God, that You would take my feeble attempt to expound upon this psalm and make it helpful, make it useful to each and every one of us here tonight. Someone might say, well, I'm not really going through a trial. Everything's fine right now. But Lord, those things are apt to change. And when the trials come, when the trying comes, when the difficult days that lie ahead come our way, might we remember this psalm. And may You use it to encourage us to have a heart and mind fixed on God. Our faith in You. Our hope in You. Our trust in You. Knowing, Father, that You do love us. You care for us. You love us so much that You gave Your Son Jesus to pay our sin debt. To die in our place. Father, You paid a high price for our salvation. I tend to believe, Father, because of the price that was paid for our salvation, You have a keen interest in our lives. Lord, use this psalm tonight to be a help, to be a blessing to this congregation. I pray in Jesus' name and amen.